We count it a privilege to be able to join with you, to worship the Lord with you, and to now come to this time which we're going to see what God would have for us in His Word. So let me just add to the many welcomes hopefully you've already received and say welcome. Welcome to Jericho Road this morning. And we are here to just worship Him and hear from Him. And my first question is, what's with the weather? I mean, it gets in the 60s. I mean, you know, kind of sprinkle overnight. We got it tough, you know? Just because 99% of the country would switch places with us. Now, we are much blessed. We're much blessed. And I pray, though, it might be a little bit cool outside and may experience a warm welcome here this morning. It's just a neat time together in the Lord. Going to start with an observation of sorts and a rhetorical question or two just to help us get to thinking about what God would have for us this morning. And to do this, I need to look around for just a moment, and in doing so, I think we're all going to, this is going to work okay. Because I look around and I see the fact that every one of you has clothes on this morning. Now, if you didn't, this would be a different message, and that message would probably end really fast. But you all have your clothes on this morning, and that's a good thing. Pastor, where are you going? But let me ask you this, again, rhetorical, but what led you to wear the particular clothes you have on? You made choices this morning getting dressed. You got up and thought, okay, I'm going to church. Let's see. Now, I know what guided some of you guys. Let's see, which one's the least wrinkled one I have? I haven't worn this for a couple days. I guess I'll wear that one. For some of the guys, you got dressed. Your wife said, that doesn't work. Try again. Yeah. A lot of you ladies, I see, are dressed nice, so you put effort into it, and that's great. But see, all of those things indicate that you made some kind of choice to get dressed physically today. And you do that every day, of course. And sometimes that's governed by the fact that you wear certain clothing for your work, maybe a uniform or something, or some style of dress you need to wear, whatever it is. But every day we make choices, and there are things that lead us to make those choices, what we're going to put on, what we're going to wear every day. Point is, you will put on something every day. Well, as it is physically, so we're going to see it as spiritually. Every day we put something on, which we're supposed to, spiritually. We get dressed spiritually. I wonder what God finds us wearing. I wonder if He finds us dressed as He would have us to be dressed. Let's look at it. We're in the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to Ephesians. We've been there for a while now, so turn to the letter to the Ephesians chapter 4, as we continue our study through the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 is where we've ended up. Chapter 4, Ephesians 4, starting at verse 17 this morning, where Paul declares, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." As we come to our portion of Scripture this morning, Paul here returns to the subject of how we walk. In Scripture, the word walk means how we conduct our lives, what our lifestyle is, what we're about. If you remember, Paul began chapter 4, look at verse 1, by saying this, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Paul had spent 3 chapters soaking us in the love of God. Just pouring out, God pouring out through Paul, what he calls there the riches according to His grace. And it was just 3 chapters of us just being just overwhelmed with God's love and mercy and grace and forgiveness and the hope and the life and all the awesome stuff that God has done for every believer in and through our lives. That work in the past, present, and future that he's committed himself to. And there were awesome chapters. And that must come first. And it did. What God has done for us. What is ours as believers in Christ. It was only then he turns in chapter 4, verse 1 and says, now, live like it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, now, based on all that, make sure you walk worthy of it. Not that you earn it, but let that work be a reality in your life. Now, go out and live this out, is what he's saying. And the first thing we saw was this. He says, to walk worthy is to walk in unity. The first part of the chapter, he says, go out now and remember, you're part of a body of Christ. You're part of a whole family now. Make sure you guard, keep, maintain a unity amongst you, he said. It was an interesting point. Of all the things he might have said, he said, what I want to what is supposed to mark a walk worthy of all the love and all God's given us is that we would guard against division. We'd avoid petty squabbles and all, but we'd keep the unity amongst us. Then we saw the second thing that was going to mark this walk worthy of all God's love he's poured out upon us. Again, not to earn it, but in response to it. Lives that reflect it. We saw last week is this. That in light of the fact that we are a body, we would seek out and be available for and do our share in that body. That everybody, he says, everybody in the body has a gift. You have a place. We're all needed. We're all important. And so he says, now make sure you do that. That you see yourself as part of the body and do your share for the purpose of building us up together. Those are the first two things that would mark this walk worthy of our calling. And now we come to this second one. And what is it? Don't walk like you used to walk. Don't be about what you used to be about. Don't walk like the unbelievers do anymore. Don't walk as the Gentiles. We're going to see this morning that's going to involve putting off something and putting on something. As I began with, the analogy will be what we wear, what we put on every day. Well, we're going to see that's going to be determined by and revolve a lot around the declaration, it comes from verse 23, of being renewed in the spirit of our mind. This morning I call our time based on the idea of putting on and putting off just that. Putting off, putting on. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We can come in here open, transparent before you. Indeed, that's what we're called to do. We're not here to play church or play religion, Lord. We're here because we know we need to encounter you. But thank you, Lord, that that's your desire. You brush past the surface and you want to minister to hearts. You know our circumstances. You know what we struggle with. There are things tugging on us. But you want to deal with core issues, heart issues. This whole point of what we're really about. So Lord, help us. Help us to hear you, not just intellectually consider, but heart hear what you'd say to us this morning. This whole issue of putting off and putting on the new. Help us not just hear about it, but may you find us doing it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's work our way through the text together here and see what God would have for us. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. Paul is pulling no punches here. Now, we know Paul is the apostle of grace. He knows right well it's all about God's grace and mercy in our lives. But he's also quick to point out, he says, but that grace is supposed to look like something. There will be changes in our lives. For every believer, there must be a change, is what he's going to be declaring. And he says it straightforward. I want you to listen for a moment to how the New International, the NIV translation, puts this verse. The NIV translates this verse, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. The word Gentiles here, by the way, means unbelievers. That's how it's being used here. Those who don't know the Lord is the idea. And it's referring to the spiritual condition that all people outside of the Lord are in. It's the condition we were once in before God in his mercy and grace got hold of us. But that's the condition of the world, what we're going to see here and look at in just a moment. And what he's going to say is, we don't have to be like that anymore. We don't have to live like that anymore. Indeed, we have the privilege to put off that old. There's a whole new person that's been created. We can live in him now. We can live in what God has. He's going to summarize it down in verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So, it's going to involve putting off the old man, that old way of thinking and being and behaving, and putting on the new. In short, he's saying we're to be done with the old ways. Well, what marks the old ways? God makes a point of inspiring Paul to record that. We're going to read through it just briefly. I want to get to the later part more in depth. But let's just consider for a moment what the old life, the former conduct, what the old man is about, how God sees people outside of him, how God sees we were at one time. But what does he say? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And the first characteristic, the first trait of the unbeliever, he says, is this, is that they walk in the futility of their mind. In short, that simply means they don't have God in their thoughts. It's not a statement about someone's intelligence. Someone, of course, can be very intelligent, IQ-wise, of course, worldly-wise, without knowing the Lord. They're not saved, but they can be very intelligent. We know that, professors and scientists and all. They can be very intelligent. That's not what's being addressed here. What he's talking about here is a thinking that doesn't include God. God's not in their radar, so to speak. They have no thoughts about God. Again, they might be brilliant, but they have no spiritual understanding. First, you see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can have a lot of knowledge, but the right application of it is called wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of real wisdom. And so you might go to school or work with someone who's very smart. You have a professor, very intelligent. And they would say, oh, God and creation and all. Quick to put that down. It just shows, reveals that they don't have God in their thoughts. That's not part of where they're coming from. And the point is, it's futile. The futility of their mind, that's an empty way of thinking. There's an emptiness to that, he's saying. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot discern the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. So that's the first thing that marks that old life, that we're not to be like. The world is, but we came out of that. The second thing now, we moved on to verse 18, it says, and that having their understanding darkened. Understanding is the ability to grasp something. But when it comes to spiritual things, they're not able to grasp it. Their understanding is darkened. Again, it's much like before. God's just not in their thoughts. They don't understand the things of God. The third trait it mentions of the unbelievers is they're being alienated from the life of God. The word alienated can be translated estranged, separated, cut off, detached. That condition we were all in at one time, detached from, cut off from God. So those in the world, they don't know him. Their thoughts he's not in their thoughts. They have no relationship with him. They're cut off from God. But notice now, in a sense here, Paul's kind of leading to some root causes. Because now he says, because. In other words, for this reason. Because of the ignorance that is in them. They're alienated from God because of the ignorance that is in them. Again, it's a spiritual ignorance. Again, someone can be very smart, intellectual-wise, some topic or something. But spiritually, they are ignorant. Again, they just don't know God. But now notice, it gets deeper. Because of the blindness of their heart. Blindness here would be better translated hardness of heart. The heart. It's always about the heart. You've heard me say it time and again here. The heart is God's turf. He cares about our whole being, but if you notice, he always aims for the heart. For God is not trying to win an argument. He's trying to win your heart. For the heart in the Bible means the seat of our being, the seat of our will. It's the real us, so to speak. And God wants us to know him and know who he created us to be and all. But those outside of him have a blindness there. They are hard of heart towards the things of God, is the idea. Man's basic problem is his heart. It always comes down to that. Man has a heart problem. And what is that problem? He's hardened towards God. Verse 19, describing those who are outside the Lord, who, being past feeling. To be past feeling means to be callous, insensible, hardened. I'm going to speak more on that in just a moment. But that being the case, since they're past feeling, it says they've given themselves over to lewdness. When you don't give yourself over to the Lord, but you don't have the truth to rule and guide you in life, you give yourself over to yourself, to the flesh, to the things of this world, to the enemy. The flesh is in the driver's seat, and that results in what the scriptures here call a lewd way of working. The way to describe it, it goes on to say, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's really just described lewdness. So here are these traits that mark the old man, which used to mark our lives, but as a believer now, we don't have to do that. We've been set free from that. We're out of that. But I want to camp on one point here before we move on to the latter part of this portion this morning. In verse 19, I mentioned I want to come back to this. It makes reference to who? Being past feeling. That one characteristic of those in the world is it's possible to get to this place of being past feeling, Paul calls it. To be past feeling means to be beyond the point of being able to experience pain, so to speak. No longer being sensitive to pain. It's much like when you develop calluses. Let's say you work with your hands in a job where your hands get rubbed a lot by a shovel or something during the day. And after a while, to protect the skin underneath, we know that you develop all these pads of skin that have just layers of little or no feeling. And it's numb. That's the idea here. Or maybe a scar. You had a scar and the nerves under there. Just through the scar, you don't feel it. The scar itself is numb. That's the idea, past feeling, becoming numb to something. The point is this. The more a person walks without God, the more potential there is that that person can become callous to the things of God. They begin to become numb to the things of God. Sin becomes more and more acceptable when you're in that place. There's that time in life when we were tempted to do something and our friend said, come on, go do this. It's no big deal. And you're thinking, I shouldn't do that. That's not right to do that. And my parents, they heard that, they'd be ashamed of me. And I don't think God would want this. But our friends coaxed us into it. And we went for it. And lightning didn't hit us. And parents didn't find out maybe or something. And you kind of got through it. You felt bad. Your conscience kind of bugged you. But then you did it again. And again. And other things. And you get used to it. And you get numb. You don't experience really bad conscience about it anymore. That's what's being talked about here. The point where sin becomes more and more acceptable. The point in which a person's conscience no longer bothers them. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:2 about people in this condition. And he described it as this. He said, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Just so burned that they can't feel anything any longer. Their conscience has been seared. Jeremiah in Jeremiah 6:15 spoke of a people, and he said this way, quote, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. He says, they were not at all ashamed. And this is the phrase that got my attention. Nor did they know how to blush. And that really hit me. He said they got to the point where they didn't even blush anymore about it. When was the last time you saw anybody in our culture blush? It's so okay, so open. Oh, good for you. Express yourself. Go for it. No harm. It's refreshing to see somebody blush. Especially see a young person to blush over something. Encourage that in them. And have them deal with why they're blushing. But it's gotten to be where, well, think of that phrase. Were they ashamed? No. They didn't even know how to blush anymore. Does that not describe the time we live in? Just past feeling in terms of God. So okay, so numb to it. That's what he says, Mark, the world. But we must press on. Look at verse 20. Because thank God for every believer, we've been called out of that. That has been broken. And look how Paul addresses it. Speaking to believers, he says, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you've heard him and were brought by, been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Yeah, the world's like that, used to be like that, but now that's not what you've learned about Christ, is it? You've not so learned Christ. As we behold Christ, we learn love and mercy and forgiveness and grace. We learn what it's like to have a spirit-filled life. We learn what it's like to walk in him and be about him. But notice the terminology Paul uses here, the way he puts this. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. Notice he didn't say, you haven't, it's not so learned about Christ. He says, well, it's not that you've, this is what you've learned about Christ. It doesn't say about him. A lot, you can learn a whole lot about Jesus and not be saved. You can learn about Jesus and not know him. But this phrase here, to have learned Christ, to learn Christ, basically, it points to this idea. It means to have a personal, ongoing communion with him. To have an ongoing fellowship with him so that we see him, so that we hear him. Notice what it says next? If indeed you've heard him. Not just fables and opinions, but you've heard him. The Holy Spirit revealing Jesus to us. The Word opening up the author of the Word to us. That we encounter him. We hear him. He says his sheep hear his voice. I'm not talking about audibly hearing him, but the Holy Spirit leading us and revealing things. I sat there last night in our little office at home, and I looked at this, and I just really struck by, and I found myself just sitting there praying, Lord. And I pray this for myself and all of us. And as I stand before this morning trying to teach this, our great need is, Lord, help us see Jesus. Help me see Jesus. Not just, I don't want to hear about him. I want to hear him. And he wants me to hear him. Lord, clear away anything that prevents that. But in the doing of that, it's going to be a key part in this whole putting off and putting on here, this awesome privilege and calling. Knowing him, that we might learn him, only then can we go live him, is the idea. But now verse 22 through 24, the putting off and putting on. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Here's the call. Put off the old man, put on the new man. That is our call, that is our privilege. But notice the key step in it all. You can't get to verse 24, i.e. putting on. You can't get from 22, putting off, to 24, putting on, without verse 23 going on. That's how you're going to get from 22 to 24. Putting off to putting on. For what does it say? That we must, and we are, and we get to be, and we need to hunger for and seek and always be open to the renewing and the spirit of our mind. To be renewed is a word that means to be made new, readjusted, changed, turned around, regenerated. And the tense signifies this is a continual, ongoing process. The Holy Spirit, at work in the believer's life is continually renewing us. That's our great need. If we're going to put on the new man, we need this continual renewing process going on. I wonder if we are submitting to it. If you find your days dry and struggling and wondering, I wonder if he's saying, because look what you're wearing spiritually. And his love, he'd want to speak to us. You don't have to wear that old stuff anymore. Quit trying the old stuff out anymore. Let me do the renewing only I can do. Yield to it, submit to it, and watch the result. Paul in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Notice, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Would you know the will of God? The perfect will of God. Would you want to discover His plans, His purposes for you? He says here, don't be conformed to this world. In our today vernacular would say, put off the old. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't do it that way anymore. Put off the old. Take off that old clothes. And put on the new. Be renewed in your mind. Well, how? He said at the beginning of it. He's speaking to brethren. Brethren, by the mercies of God, present yourself as a living sacrifice. Say, God, here I am. You call the shots. You take charge. I'm going to do it your way. Let the Holy Spirit have control that we might be renewed. You can't get to the putting on from the putting off without that. But it's for us if we will just let Him, if we'll just obey. Again, not to earn, but to experience all God has. Notice verse 24. As the Holy Spirit's renewing us, the spirit of our minds, that you will put on the new man. See, that's very clear. It's very clear. This is something that we have an active part in. We're not just passive in this whole putting on process. It's something we're to choose to do. And we can do in the power of the Holy Spirit. So spiritually speaking, what do you got on today? What do you put on every day? If I saw you out, we're looking around, if we saw each other, spiritually speaking, what would we see? What do others see us wearing? Are we putting on the new man every day? Now, the tense of verse 22, the putting off part of this, tells us that this has already been done. We have put off the old man. It happened at salvation. The moment you receive Christ as Savior, you are made a new creation. He doesn't just dust off the old. Doesn't take your old clothes out and try to iron them out for you. You are made a brand new creation. That happened. That's a done deal. And yet we see here, we have our part now to choose to live it out. We have our choice to live out that we're new creations, to put on that new man, to make choices from being new, to know we're set free from the power of sin. We can make choices, but that's our part in this, to make choices to live it out. It might be hard to understand. Let me try to explain this. I found this, and I thought it helped me, and maybe it'll help all of us see the idea here. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones is a well-known Bible commentator. And he uses this illustration. Allow me to share this. He says this, when Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, they were officially free from their many years of servitude. But some of them went on living as if they were still slaves. The president's proclamation gave them legal standing as free citizens. It was a done deal. They were no longer slaves. They were free the minute the Emancipation Proclamation was made. But out of habit or their way of thinking, many of those people still lived like slaves. So they needed to live in accordance with the new facts. Lloyd-Jones says, when they were tempted to think like a slave, they needed to say, no, the truth is, I am now a free man. They needed to appropriate that truth into their daily experience, end quote. What's he saying? When the proclamation went forward that they were free, they were positionally free from that time on, legally positionally free. But experientially, some of them kept living as if they weren't. So spiritually, the application would be, the moment we're born again, we are positionally declared free. Free! Set free! The truth has set us free. Brand new creations. But it's possible for some to live as if they're not. To live in the old ways. To keep putting on the old clothes. Somehow thinking they're better off or not realizing it or something. Instead, we need to say, no, wait a minute. I don't have to keep living out the past any longer. I've been set free from that. That doesn't have the power anymore. I can live spiritually free because I am. I can put on the new man is the privilege and the calling. There are two outfits available to every believer every day, so to speak. And we can put on the old, dirty, filthy rags and head out and wonder why we struggle and suffer, why we're missing out. Or we can put on that new, awesome outfit from God. That new man, fashioned after Jesus. Fashioned according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Think about that. Settle the issue. I'm done with the old clothes. Out they go. I'm done with the old life for good, is the privilege and calling. Because here's the warning. Sometimes we hear a message like this, and the danger is you can focus on the putting off. And it becomes works. It becomes a struggle. Because all we hear is, well, I can't do that anymore. I'm not supposed to do that anymore. So we're focusing on putting off all the time, not just, I'm not doing the old stuff anymore. You know what that turns us into? A bunch of don'ters. You've known some Christians that are don'ters. Well, I don't do this anymore, and we don't do that anymore, and I can't do that. And it's somehow like, oh, poor you. You don't get to live in ignorance and blindness and hardness anymore? Well, we don't do this, we don't do that. God has set us free now. It's not what we don't, it's what I get to put on. It's what I get to be about. So we're new creations. He's saying put off, but don't stop there. Go on to the putting on. That whole new life, new priorities, new purpose, why we were made, who we get to walk with. How? Oh, by the Holy Spirit. His work, renewing us, enables us to choose the new man. Good news, you don't have to keep living in reaction to the past. You don't have to keep paying for yesterday with today. You don't have to keep putting on the old man and the old take on things and the old, well, they said and what did they think and whatever all that junk was. Gone. We can now choose the new man created according to God in true righteousness. That means in right standing with God. In Jesus, his righteousness has been put onto our account. I have right standing with God. Now go live righteously, meaning go live it out. Let him live through you. And holiness. What's holiness mean? It means set apart. So what that means, you're now set apart to him. So new purposes, new priorities, freedom to live as we were made to. What do you wear each day? I always have to be careful when I look at the group right here in front. I can look at you over here and you're far enough away that you say, I'm not sure you're looking at me or not. Or I can get away with that over here, but right here, it's hard. Yeah, he's looking at me. Yeah, he's probably looking at me. I can't. It's not a big enough. But hey, I'm asking, what do you got on every day? What does the Lord see you putting on every day? Are you coming short of the awesome outfit that God has for you spiritually? freedom, new priorities, a new creation, set free from all that world's junk. Now, let's be very clear here. Putting on the new man isn't just fixing up the old. It's not reforming the old man. Again, it's not taking that old clothes and trying to somehow get the wrinkles out of them, or, well, maybe if I put this in the wash, it'll look better. Nope. The old man is gone. When you receive Christ, behold, all things are new. You have been made new. The call? Live like it. That's the privilege and that's the calling. Now go live in that newness. Put on that newness, that new man, every day. I'm going to invite the worship team up. Got some things I want you to think about as we come to our response time. Are you here today and you're in that past feeling category? Have you gotten numb to the things of God? Made some decisions and nothing gigantically bad happened, although they did. You're just maybe not aware of it. Separation between you and the Lord has occurred. But my point being is, do you need to come out of a seared conscious condition this morning? Have you gotten used to the old junk? Good news. He says all this because not because he's down on you, but he's calling you. Whatever degree of conviction, thank God, God doesn't condemn, but he does convict for the purpose of restoring, getting us back on track and all. During this time of response, the altar will be available. No one's going to bug you, ask you a thing. But if you're in that condition, come to the altar and receive forgiveness if you've gotten in that past feeling condition. Say, Lord, restore the feelings again between me and you. I hear this morning, and you've received Christ as Savior, but you recognize spiritually you've been dragging around the old clothes, the old rags, not enjoying, not living in the freedom and all that he's given to you. This morning, maybe it's time for you to come up front and lay the old clothes out here and just acknowledge, Lord, I'm new. Lord, I'm up here just thanking you, spiritually speaking. I want to make sure I have the new man on. Come up front, and if it can help you, just celebrate, I'm new. I'm gonna walk in that new man today. Maybe you just want to come up front and declare. You're declaring to the Lord, Lord, every day you're going to find me putting on the new man from now on. Maybe you need to come up front to say, Lord, I want to yield to that process of the renewing of the Holy Spirit in my mind. The Spirit of my mind renewed. Lord, I want to get back into that renewing process. I come to yield myself. Come up and do that. But whether you come up front or not, make sure wherever we're sitting at this morning, let's respond right now. Let's thank him and worship him that he's made us new. Let's make sure that he's finding us, putting on the new man every day. Let's not come short of all he has. See, our great need, as I said, and what's on my heart, is above all, Lord, help us see you. Help me know you, learn you, hear you, because that's how this whole thing's going to work. See, if we see him, then the new man will be displayed every day in and through us. Father, you see us, you know us, you love us. For everyone who's come to receive, you've made us new. Now help us, Lord. Speak to hearts. What have we been spiritually wearing? Help us to today settle the issue. That every day you might find us. Put on that new clothes. Put on the new man as you renew us. And we thank you that you do. In Jesus' name. Amen.